Turn to the book of the New Testament that we've just read from. It's written by Paul to the church in the city of Ephesus. And we've read the opening passage. And in the verses that follow, I want to show you that there's a phrase that is repeated. And what I want us to do is just spend some time tonight looking at that repeated phrase. So first of all then, if you go to Ephesians and chapter 1, you'll see the phrase occurring for the first time in verse 21. So Paul is talking about Christ, saying that he is far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And then as you go down into chapter 2, and we look at the phrases there, shall we? Go to chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I wonder, did you notice the phrase that's repeated? First of all, you find it in verse 21, and then you see it in verse 7. Have you noticed it? It's the phrase, in the age which is to come. So first of all, verse 21, it's in the end of the verse, but also in that age which is to come. And then in chapter 2, verse 7, at the start of the verse, we read that in the ages to come. I want us to think about this together, and I want to think about what the age to come is. I want to think about what it means for those who are not Christians, and then for those that are. So let's ask God then to help us listen to his word. Lord our God, we thank you that at the end of this wonderful day, we are able to meet just as a small company in this building with many of our brothers and sisters missing, on holiday, away during this week. We are able to meet to worship, and we are able to meet to hear your word. Lord, we need all the distractions to be taken away, and we need, our God, the help of your Holy Spirit, if we are to hear and if we are to believe. So our God, we commend ourselves to you in Jesus Christ. Amen. First thing I want to say to you is the New Testament speaks of this age and then of an age to come. The whole of the Bible bears witness to this age and an age to come. And it seems to me that the church has lost sight of the age to come. And I think I should confess that I think that there are times when I lose sight of the fact that there is an age to come. So you and I are living in this present age. We are living in a world of days and weeks and months and years. We are living in an age of family and work. We are living in an age where we live on this planet, and everything seems very permanent. Everything seems very solid and very real. But the Bible speaks of an age to come. And when the Bible speaks of that age, the Bible describes it as an age of heaven and as an age of hell. And it's this idea of hell that I find very difficult speaking about. And I do wonder whether we should say more of it and speak more of it in our services on a Sunday. So in this book, then, in the New Testament, the writer, the St. Paul, is explaining to the church what this age is like, and then he's telling them about the age to come and what the age to come is going to be like. Now, what I want us to see is this age is temporary. Now, it feels real to you and me, doesn't it? We are so immersed in this age. We are so busy doing what we do, looking after our families, working hard during the week, thinking about our futures. This age seems very real, and there are those who say it's the only age. Well, the Bible tells you this age in which we are now living is temporary. This age will only continue for as long as God wants it to. And then this age will then come to an end. And the age which is to come will be introduced by God. And that age which is to come will be forever. There will be heaven forever, and there will be hell forever. So this age, then, is a passing age. And what the Apostle Paul sets out very clearly is in this age, men and women need to be saved. Now, did you notice that? So if you look at verse 5 of chapter 2, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. And there's the phrase, by grace you have been saved. So this is the age for salvation. This is the age where men and women have the opportunity to be saved. There is no opportunity for salvation in the age to come. It is now. And so the Christian message is a call to men and women living in this age that they need to be saved. Now, that message, I think, is a complicated message because it involves telling men and women in this age that they are dead in their sins, that they are enemies of God, and they need the grace of God to save them from their sins. Can I ask you, what do you think about that message? It's a message that's not heard a great deal today. It's a message that many would say is an old-fashioned and irrelevant message. But it's very clearly the message of the New Testament. Men and women must be saved. Now, even the word saved, doesn't it sound like an old-fashioned word? And the job of someone like me, the job of the church, is to explain what it means. And it means that men and women are sinners. Men and women, all of us, and there's no exceptions. Whoever we are, wherever we live, whatever we do, whatever we like, we are all sinful men and women. We don't know it. We don't see it. We don't understand it. We've no idea about it until God makes us aware of it. And then when God makes us aware, God then shows us Jesus Christ. And in showing us Jesus Christ, God then leads us to him. So if you look at verse 5 for a start there, can you see verse 5 in chapter 2? There's a summary of this message that you and I need to be thinking about tonight. We need to be talking about. We need to be talking to our families about. This message in verse 5. I want to put in an appeal. And really what I'm trying to do here is speak as much to myself as I would speak to you. How seriously do we take the message that in this age, men and women need to be saved? How seriously do we believe it? Now, what I'm asking myself for are two reasons. Firstly, as a preacher, should preachers, do you think, be saying more about this on Sundays in their sermons? So I ask myself that question, whether there should be more emphasis on Sundays. And then in terms of my own family, my sisters, my wider family, should we seek more than we do to bring this message that this is the age in which God offers salvation to men and women from their sins? Now, I'm asking myself this question, not just tonight now, but I'm asking myself this question more generally. What about you? Do you think we need to wake up a bit to the fact that this is the age where those you work with, those that you live with, those in your streets need to hear the message that salvation is of this age? Well, here's the Apostle Paul then. He's developing this idea. So in this age, it's the age of salvation, where dead men and women, dead in their sins, enemies of God, strangers to Christ, men and women like these Ephesians have been made alive by the grace of God. They are brought to Christ and they are saved. That's this age. And then what Paul does is he tells us about the age to come. And he says a great deal about the age to come in this letter. And Paul is developing the idea that God is working towards the age which is to come. And all the purposes of God will be fulfilled in the age to come. So God is not fulfilling his purposes in this age. God is working and directing everything to the age which is to come. That's God's great aim. And God is working towards that age through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to tell you about these great big words that we've got in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. They're wonderful words. They're full of meaning, which Paul uses to describe the activity of God. He tells us God has purposes. He says God is determined. He says God is working things out. And he's doing all this, says Paul, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And what Paul seeks to do is just give a hint about what this age to come will be like for the Christian. And I just want to develop one or two of these hints that the Apostle Paul develops. So look at verse 7 again of chapter 2. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And then again, verse 8, we've got this message of salvation in this age and how salvation is the result of God's grace. But in the age to come, and there's one word there in verse 7 that is so simple a word, but it's so massive an idea. Can you see it? In the age to come, God wants to show something. And that idea is also found in chapter 1. And in chapter 1, Paul uses the word mystery. There's something hidden which God is going to show in the age to come. So do you see the idea then? So just looking at verse 7 of chapter 2, God wants to show something in the age to come. So ask a question. Who does what God want to show something to? If I'm going to show you something, there's somebody to see it, isn't there? So who does God want to show something to? And do you see the answer there in verse 7? God wants to show you something. So if you're a Christian and you get to the age which is to come, so you get to heaven, in heaven, God is going to show you something. Something that you can't see right now. Something you got no idea about right now, but God is going to show it to you. And there's a hint of it here in verse 7. God wants to show you just how rich God has been to you in his grace. God is going to show you just how much grace God has given to you during the course of your life as a Christian. And God is going to show you how rich, how exceedingly rich his grace has been towards you. And when you get to see this in heaven, you'll be so amazed by it, you'll be so overwhelmed by it, that you will be someone who will offer praise and glory to God because of his grace. So do you get the idea then? God is keeping a secret. God's got a mystery, something hidden. And that secret is how much grace he's giving to you. You don't know it right now. And it may seem to you right now that you don't know any grace at all. It may seem to you that you've been abandoned by God, that you've been left alone by God. But there will be this moment in heaven when God will show you the exceeding riches of his grace to you. Now, I just want to say very quickly three things about what God is going to show you. The first is, when you get to heaven, God will show you just how much grace it took to save you in the first place. And God will unfold to you the steps he took in grace to lead you to Christ, that you may be saved. And God will show you the steps of saving grace in terms of time, in terms of eternity. God will show you the grace he gave you in terms of your family and friends, in terms of the church and the upbringing. Every grace that was given to you to lead you to faith in Christ. That's what God will show you. How much grace do you think it took to save you, just to bring you to Christ that you might believe? However much you think, you've no idea, but you'll see one day how exceedingly great was the grace of God in bringing you to Christ. And I'm almost hesitant to say it, but when this age to come, when this age to come breaks in, there'll be so many who won't be Christians. And there'll be so many who, in the age to come, will be separated from God. And we don't like to think of it. And we like to think, don't we, that we are very reasonable human beings who work hard in our jobs, and we take our responsibilities serious, and we're educated people. But the Bible's witness is clear. There will be many who do not go into the presence of God in eternity. And what God will show you then is how grace made the difference. What's different between you and someone who is lost? What's the difference between you going into heaven and someone else being cast away from God? What's the difference? And it's grace. And you will be shown how much grace has been given to you. That's the first thing God will show you. The second thing that God will show you is how much grace it took for your sins to be forgiven. So in Ephesians 1, from verse 7 onwards, God will show you the amount of grace that was needed so that your sins could be forgiven. And what God in his grace will do is he'll take you, now I don't know how, but he'll take you to the cross. And he'll show you his son. He'll show you Jesus Christ, the redemption which is in his blood. He'll show you Jesus Christ made sin for you. He'll show you Jesus Christ punished for sin that was not his own. And God will show this to you. And God will say to you, how much grace did it take for your sin to be forgiven? Now, we've no idea at the moment. We know that grace abounds even more. We've said, haven't we, in recent weeks, that grace is over the top. Grace is abundant. Grace is extravagant when it comes to sin. God will show you one day just how much grace was needed for your sin to be forgiven. That's what God will show you. The exceeding richness, greatness of his grace to you. And then we've got a third thing, haven't we, in Ephesians 1 from verse 3 onwards. We've got this idea that a Christian has been brought into the family of God. We have been adopted as sons and daughters of the living God. Verse 5 of chapter 1. So if you're a Christian, it simply means that God regards you as his son or as his daughter. So God has given to you the same status and the same privileges as that which are true of Jesus Christ. How much grace has God given to you so that you have been brought into the family of God? What's involved in taking someone like me or someone like you and bringing you into God's family? And we've got a hint of it. There's lots of hints going on in chapter 1. So you know, first of all, that God chose you in eternity past. And then you know that God called you in this present age and saved you in this present age. And he's conferred on you the status of son or daughter in this present age. You've been adopted. Christ is your older brother. We've got all this worked out here for us in chapter 1. But what we don't know is how much grace is involved. We can't grasp it. Our minds are too small. And we get taken up with other things, don't we? So we lose sight of it. But in the age to come, God will show you just how much of his grace was given to you to make you a son or a daughter of God. Now, that's what God is going to show us in the age to come. And in this age to come, Christ is in a position of victory and power and authority. His name is above every name. He's at the right hand of God. He's the one whom God has raised to this very highest position. There's Christ in the age to come with a name that is above every name. We see it there in verse 21 of the first chapter. And from that great position, Christ in the glories of the age to come, God will show you just how much of his grace he gave to you. So let's look for the last time at verse 7 then. That in the age to come, he might show, so he's going to show us, you and me, the exceeding riches of his grace. And then what God will show is the kindness that he's always had towards you and I in his son, Jesus Christ. Now that word kindness, doesn't it sound so ordinary? The idea is that as we live in this age, we cannot see the grace of God given to us. It's almost as if we're blind. So we live out our Christian lives and we are taken up with the challenges and the responsibilities and the duties of Christian life. And we spend our days thinking about families and jobs and children and grandchildren. And we think about ourselves and our futures. And our minds are filled like this, day by day, with all the stuff of this age. And with our minds filled with this age, we don't see and we don't know how the grace of God is being given to us. Keeping us, forgiving us, saving us, preserving us, helping us. We just don't see it. And the word kindness in verse 7 captures the idea that we have a God who continues to give grace to us even when our own minds are filled with the things of this age. Look, I'll put it in this way. Some of us get the Christian life the wrong way round. And we think about our Christian lives like this. I have got to keep looking to God. I've got to keep my focus on God. And I've got to keep reading the Bible. And I'm focusing on me and how I must keep looking at God. Now, that's right. But that's not the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is you and I are going to be filled with the things of this age. Every day, the mind of every Christian is going to have a million things swirling around that belong to this age. And in all of that, underneath all of that, and in a way that we don't see, God continues to give grace. And the grace of God never fails. It never stops. The grace of God continuously outpoured through Jesus Christ is at work in your life. And because your thoughts are filled with this age, you don't see it, you don't know it, you can't recognize it, and you may even doubt it. Now, here's where we'll end. One day, God is going to show you just how much grace God gave you. And God will help you trace the whole of your life from the vantage point of His grace. And you will see how at these moments and in this day and at that time, God gave you grace for you to continue. You'll see it then. And when you'll see it, when God shows it to you, you'll be so overwhelmed and so amazed that you will give voice to the praise of the glory of the grace of God. Well, let's turn to